It is certainly an unproven phenomenon, but perhaps it's undebatable that wherever you go, wherever you live, everything can be running smoothly. The house is quiet. Everyone is happy. And then the phone rings. And it doesn't matter who's on the other end of the line. As soon as you pick it up, everything falls apart. Everybody needs something. They can't find their shoes. It's 9 a.m., but they want to know what's for dinner. They're bored. They need something to do right now. That those are like the interruptions of life, unforeseen and unexpected, but certain to happen. And nobody likes interruptions. They divert our energy from what is most urgent. So how do we limit them? Well, I'm sorry to say that the Gospel of Luke is of little help. In fact, Luke might make it worse, because for some reason, Luke is in favor of interruptions, reminding us, be dressed for action, keep your lamps lit. Those instructions to be dressed for action harken back to that outer garment that people wore during this time, to pick it up and tuck it in that sash that was tied around their waist so their feet were free and they were ready to go. And those who read these words when they were first written, those instructions to be dressed for action, would have taken them back to God's instructions given to the people there in Egypt right before the Passover. There, when they were in the last minutes of slavery, listening for the call of the presence of God to set them free, they had to be dressed for action. And then those instructions to keep their lamps lit would have reminded them of the lamps that they would light in the tabernacle, that mobile sanctuary that followed them from campsite to campsite, that when they looked up and saw those lamps lit with fire, it was to remind them that God was always with them. So they would always be ready, because God could show up unannounced. That's why Luke is in favor of interruptions. In fact, the gospel itself, in many ways, is an interruption. That Jesus, or Emmanuel, God with us, shows up unexpectedly, interrupting the status quo of our lives. Now, on the other hand, as we get up on Monday morning to go about our weekly routine, life can feel more like an assembly line. Standing there in front of the conveyor belt, tending to task after task, keeping our heads down because there is no time to look up or even take a breath. That there is that pressure all around us. But there are interruptions. And thank goodness, because many times they are full of the grace of God. That an assembly line leaves no room, no time for things like creativity, daydreaming, reflection, prayer, or Sabbath. Because we're always pushed and forced to keep up. It's why we hear so much exaggerated language all around us. warning us if we don't take the right classes or get in with the right group or make the right team or pick the right major or get the right internship, that if every little thing doesn't fall into place, then everything is just going to fall apart. So there's no time for interruptions. There's no time to embrace a quiet evening at home because we're missing out on something else. There's no time to put the phone down because we might miss that message from work. There's no time for boredom. But boredom is just another word for unscheduled time for creativity, daydreaming, reflection, prayer, or Sabbath. Nobody likes interruptions, but we all know that some of the richest moments of life are found in them. Like stopping for what you anticipate to be 30 seconds. To bend down and hear a child talk about the book that she is reading, but she gives you the long version, the page-by-page description. But in that moment, you see the excitement dancing in her eyes. Or maybe it's stopping to sit down with a friend. You think it's going to be no more than 15 minutes and a cup of coffee, but you sit there laughing for hours, and it lifts our spirits in ways we could never explain. Or maybe it's dropping everything to go visit family for a couple days, having to put so many other tasks and responsibilities aside, but as we drive back home, we're thankful for that time, reminding us of who we are and where we come from and what is good about our roots. Or in the interruptions, we just might brush up against God's Spirit, calling us in some new direction, interrupting the status quo of our lives. That interruptions have a ministry for us. That they serve us in good ways. That's why the book of Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen, or we might add, or expected. That it points, that verse, towards the story of Abram and Sarah, who have quite the testimony when it comes to interruptions. That one day, in the midst of their week, everything was running smoothly. Everyone was happy. Things were good. And then the phone rang. And they were called to leave the place they knew and the people that they had always known, and to venture out into the unknown, which becomes the very definition, Hebrews says, of faith. That interruptions have a ministry to us. And we can learn to pay attention to them, to notice them when they happen, to look just beneath the surface at what opportunity or possibility is there. We can also be grateful for them. Like in this place, when the crisis committee gets a phone call and they stop what they are doing and they reorient their week in order to provide a place for family to gather with one another and with friends right in the wake of the loss of a loved one, creating here in this place hope and hospitality, healing, a place for grace and gratitude. Or we might even look at those seemingly trivial interruptions throughout our lives, sprinkled in all along the way, and realize they create the landscape of care and concern that we have received or that we offer to others. It's like that last minute, quick, frustrating trip to Walmart late into the night because glue is needed for the school project the very next morning. Or perhaps it's stopping a friend, asking him about his day. No, really, how are you doing? Because there's this air of sadness around him. Or it just might be pausing each night to pray with our family, alongside our children, or by ourselves, because it leaves room for the unexpected. That we can learn to pay attention to the interruptions. And one way that we do this is to pay attention to the small voices. They are not the most urgent voices. They're not the tweet in all caps or the Instagram with the most likes. They're not the most powerful voices. They are quiet voices who need our attention, our presence, our support, because they are the most vulnerable voices. And many times we hear them within the interruptions. The closest thing I have ever climbed to a mountain is Stone Mountain in Atlanta, which, let's be honest, it's more of a glorified hill. But I've heard others talk about real mountain climbing, where the air is thin and the temperatures are freezing, that apparently, and it comes as no surprise, it is essential, imperative to take breaks. But those breaks have to be long enough without being too long. If they're too long, the climber can start to develop hypothermia, and those initial symptoms of hypothermia can quickly go unnoticed. But the breaks still have to be long enough, because none of us can sustain constant activity. That yes, the interruptions cannot stop life from happening. But it's also essential that life stops for them. Because in them, we can hear the small voices, which many times turns out to be the voice of God. That we just might hear God's voice in the voice of a hurting child, a lonely friend, the cries of the poor, or it may be in the small voice just beneath the surface of our lives, where we hear God calling us to something, or helping us rediscover God's presence throughout this world, or even working to heal our wounds. That as we begin a new academic year, as busy as that can become, let us listen and pay attention to all of the interruptions, because so oftentimes, that's where God likes to show up. Amen.